Today's gospel is from Luke. So all this time we've been in Matthew. So suddenly we're jumping into Luke. And it's an interesting passage because it has Jesus walking a border between Galilee and Samaria. He's walking through a border road. And he comes to a border town, a border village. And if you know anything about border villages, they're extremely chaotic. You've got all kinds of commerce taking place. You've got some people going into Galilee, some going into Samaria, and some resting there to go on to Jerusalem. So it's an incredibly chaotic place. And Jesus goes into that place. And the first people he runs into is a group who are suffering from leprosy. This is a group of people who have been pushed out of their community. They're not allowed to be close to anybody. And if anybody sees them, they're to turn and walk away. And there's a small group there of 10. And what's interesting about that small group is, you know, they shared something very important. You see, we know that at least one in that group was a Samaritan. We also know that Jesus said, go off to the priest, which meant that there had to have been some Jewish people in there. And if you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not like each other. But here was a group of people that were combined. They came together through their disease. They looked after each other. They cared for each other. They talked with each other. In today's language, we'd probably call that a shared community. We'd probably call that something along the lines of a group of people who come together and nurture each other. Sound kind of familiar? Coming together and being nurtured together? So that's kind of a little sidestep to the gospel today, is that right off the bat, we're given this notion of a helping community, even though they had leprosy. A support group, in other words. You and I have a support group in our faith coming together in the church, don't we? So that's the first little thread that is thrown out by Luke, coming together as a support community. But here's the thing that happens that I find so interesting. When the lepers, the fellows, see Jesus, they say, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Nowhere does it say, Jesus, heal us. Nowhere does it say that. And Jesus doesn't turn around and say, well, I'm going to choose something. I'm going to have pity on you. I'm going to give you some money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you food. I'm going to help you. He doesn't say that. He immediately says, go to the priest and you'll be made clean. Kind of interesting, eh? In the fact that this group never once asked to be healed. They asked for pity. They asked for Jesus to come forward and show them some kindness. Because here was still a group that could not go into the village. Here was still a group that had to be outside of the ring. Have pity on us. Talk to us. Be with us. And instead, he says, go to the priest and you'll be healed. Now, off they run. Now, you can imagine if you had some kind of disease like leprosy and you were suddenly running to the priest and you were becoming clean and you were becoming more energy and all that was healing and how excited you'd be. And so, in all that excitement, the Samaritan turns around and goes back to Jesus. He goes back to Jesus and gets down on the ground and thanks him. What does Jesus say? He says, your faith has made you strong. Go. Your faith has healed you. As if to say, listen, I was there and you were there. And together we are healed. Together we accomplish this. And then he says, well, what about the other 9? Well, Luke doesn't tell us about the other 9. For all we know, the next day they went and tracked down Jesus and said, thank you. But we have this impression that, well, they were so happy to be healed after so long that they just left. They went to the four winds. We don't know. So what's my point with all this? Well, first and foremost that, well, as a community of faith, we are a support group. We come together with all our backgrounds, with all our lifestyles, with all our educations, and we support each other. That's the beauty of the church. And then just as the Samaritan came and laid down at the feet of Jesus, you and I are called to give thanks as well. Now, that's really easy to do when we're in a stressful situation and we feel the power of the Spirit working in our lives. And we feel, you know, things are moving and we're coming out of some dark spot. It's very easy to give thanks. But what about daily? What about giving thanks daily? And people say, well, you know, John, how long should I give thanks? Every day. Every day. And how can I do that? Should it be like an hour of prayer? Should it be 2 hours of prayer or half a day of prayer? How long? There's no timeline. All we know is that the Samaritan went and laid down at Jesus' feet. He got up and left after saying, yo, go. Jesus didn't say, stick around and pray some more. He said, get up and go. Tell others. And so I put that out to you as well. It's just simply saying, if you see something outside or here or wherever you are, stop and give thanks. You know, the other day, I forgot about that, about giving thanks. You know, I was taking my wife's car in to be servicing. My truck never needs to be serviced. What can I say? My wife's car. So, all right, take the car in. Take it in. Sit down with the service rep now. Okay, sat down. What would you like done to the car? So I rattled off all the things that I wanted to have done to the car. Just rattled them off. Windshield wipers, oil change, brake fluid flush, tires checked, da-da-da-da-da. And so the person was writing it down furiously. And I said, that's it. And then I paused and I thought, you know, not once did I say please. Not once did I say thank you. I just rattled off all this stuff and expected the person just to go, right on, Mr. Wilcox. Well, I had my collar on, so right on, Reverend Wilcox. But then I paused. I said, thank you. Please do this. We forget. It's simple to run over that, isn't it? But if, as parents and grandparents, what's the first thing we always say to our children? What do we say when you receive something? Please and thank you. Absolutely. But we forget about that, and God calls us to say thank you. Why? So it shares in our ministry together. And it can simply be a beautiful sunrise. It can simply be starting your day. Thank you for this day, this great gift you've given us. So that's the second thing. And the last thing is that, well, when we say thanks to God, we not only say thanks to God here, but we say thanks to God to the world around us. And by doing that, we meet the needs of the world around us. We don't look at ourselves as being the center. We look at the world around us. And that's really a neat thing to do. You know, at the parish council meeting on Thursday, I discovered a new thing, not only where the washrooms are, but I discovered that if you go out this door and turn to your right, there's a wall of tithing, how your offerings are being used in our church and how they reach out into the community. That we are not a silent group, we are a vocal group. And with that, we should be giving thanks because we are giving back into the community. So if you could take a moment, look out onto that wall there and just see all the different local ministries that Holy Trinity has participated in since 2002. It's exciting to look at. It just sort of blew me away. And so here being my eighth week, I found it 8 times in a row. It's a blessing to keep discovering new things. And with that, I give thanks to God to share in it. So this week, take a moment and give thanks to God for the many blessings he so freely bestowed upon us, and share those blessings with the world around us. Amen.